You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Going shopping at my parents' house. Cause I need some stuff from my parents' house. Gonna take it home to my house. Cause I need this stuff at my house. It's not stealing when you're at your parents' house. They want the best for you at your parents' house. Taking this stuff back to my house. To improve things back at my house. Shopping here is free at my parents' house. They don't need all this stuff at their house. Now we've made it back to my house. Time to
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, April 7th. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with the once host of the now defunct Starters. He's fun and irreverent. It's Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey!
Yo! That's Kirby with an E, not an I. Yeah. We also have the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lily. And last but not least, making the magic happen here today, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like, comment, and subscribe. And if you haven't already, check out Tass's What You Need to Know. And last night's Top Shot Hot Boys. TK and I were ripping some packs. We got some interesting moments last night. Just leave it at that. But we had a blast. We had so much fun. So go check that out if you're into the Top Shot world like TK and I are. We also want your questions for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. We're hitting the beach later today, 3 p.m. Eastern. Live on YouTube if you want to join us. But for the next one, email your questions and your comments into nodunks@theathletic.com or send them in by Twitter at nodunksinc or leave them in the YouTube comments. And finally, immaculate items always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Okay, today we're going to actually tackle ESPN's list of the NBA's best 25 under 25. This is something they do... We've been doing for the last couple of years, at least, sort of ranking young stars in the league. And so we'll take a look at that and debate their list and maybe try and tweak it. But we start with the games here. And Trey, you can get us started. Steph Curry and the Warriors use a furious finish here to defeat the Bucks without Giannis, but 122-121. Big win for the Warriors here, who are obviously in a race to get into the playoffs.
Come on, Skeets. If you're going to say Steph Curry and the Warriors, you got to say it's Steph Curry and the Warriors. They needed it last night. Needed that win last night. No Giannis. So the Warriors honestly had to have it. Unfortunately for them, trailing heading into that fourth quarter. But fortunately for them, they do got Steph Curry. 11 points he had in the fourth quarter. Felt like more, four baskets, only an assist. But it was just another classic Curry throwback. He ended up with a 41 points and 5 threes. A great game for anybody. A standard good game for Stephen Curry, however. And I just loved the way that the Warriors charged back in this one. They've lost 12 of 16. They are tumbling in the standings. And Curry honestly just said, not so fast, my friend. But it wasn't just Curry to me. I thought Kelly Oubre Jr. had a really solid game. He ended up with 19 points. He hit 4 threes. And a couple of those threes came in the fourth quarter. And it really kept the Warriors connected to the Bucks. I think he hit one that put them within 4 points. He hit another one that put them within 7 points, just keeping the Warriors close enough that Curry could eventually bring them home. Andrew Wiggins, I thought, also made some nice plays. Maybe I got to get me a little chunk of Wiggins Island here. 9 points on 4 of 15 shooting. How did he help? Well, he made some winning plays. He blocked the jumper right at the end of the game here to seal things for the Warriors, and he had a nice tip out for another Curry three earlier in the game, the Warriors locked down, the Warriors got gritty, and with Giannis Antetokounmpo out, it was enough for the Warriors to pick up that dub with Steph Curry going off. A much-needed win for them because, I don't know, you saw Curry afterwards. He's been sore. He hurt his butt. He's excited. He's got a butt pad now, had a tough landing, but with him being out for a little bit and the Warriors honestly struggling, and maybe they could even get a little bit more out of Steph Curry, if you ask me. They needed this win because we know that the Grizzlies are charging hard on them. You know, things are going to be tightening up here in the Western Conference as some of these, I'm sorry, the Pelicans, actually, as some of these worst teams kind of fade away to the background. Surely the top 10, 11 teams will be creeping up the standings. So yeah, really nice for the Warriors to actually be able to stem the tide here, stop the bleeding, whatever you want to call it. They needed a win. It didn't look like they were going to get one until Steph Curry was there.
Yeah, you could tell, Lili, that Steve Kerr was pumped with this victory. And like Trey's saying, really, really needed it. He was jacked after them pulling this off, like this furious comeback. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors, this is not a season where they're just like, well, let's just wait till next season. They want to get back into the playoffs and they want to win and compete. And as Trey mentioned there, they're a game and a half up on the Pelicans, who dropped one last night in Atlanta, which could be a crucial one. The Warriors are looking to win. They're hoping to win. They need every single win. And Steph Curry, a couple of games ago, has basically sort of talked about it. Like, we got to be better. There's no excuses for this team. You know, everyone's dealing with injuries and things like that. They just had to be better. And so they pull out a very, very important victory for them. But I just wonder if Steph may miss a few more games going forward, because he did land on that, you know, the sort of tailbone area again last night. He did that little hump. Wasn't really celebrating. That was more in pain.
Bit of an Embiid thrust, though, for sure.
Exactly, yeah. So that's something that he, either way, whether he misses games or not, you know that he's probably going to be certainly not 100%, because that's a sort of injury that I don't think it's just going to go away anytime soon. I thought for the Warriors, though, I mean, the Bucks were up 10 points with about 3 minutes to go. All they really had to do was close this one out, and they couldn't do that. And I thought Trey was right there as well. There, Andrew Wiggins making some impact, not necessarily scoring the ball, just doing other things, being active, being important, because he had a clunker of a three right at the end there, which in the end didn't cost them. But then Kelly Oubre, practice your free throws, kids. Got to the free throw line and knocked them in, and just got the Warriors home. And I thought that defensive scramble at the end there could have gone either way. The Bucks could have got the ball to drop in. It didn't. So the Warriors get it. But this season hasn't been a good one, obviously, for the Golden State Warriors. They had much higher expectations, even though they knew they were going in here without Klay Thompson, and it hasn't gone well. So they want to get back to winning. And right now they'd be, you know, 10th in the standing, so they'd be in the play-in tournament. They'd be a tough team to face, you know, that experience, especially there with Draymond and Steph Curry there, you know, the experienced guys who have been to the finals. They'd be tough, but I think they would much rather be out of that area and into the sort of at worst sixth seed.
Yeah, I agree with that. As for the Bucks too, like, I don't want to gloss over this loss. I mean, they are really sort of settling in probably to the third seed in the Eastern Conference, falling, I think it's 2.5 back of both the Nets and the Sixers. And they're still up, you know, pretty comfortably on the Hawks, who we'll get to, who are in fourth. But, you know, that's not good. It feels like in the East, there's going to be a nice little race there for the number one seed, because it just means you're helping your chances, right, of going to the conference finals, meaning you're not going to have to play one of those other elite teams in the Eastern Conference in the second round. So, you know, the Bucks, we keep talking about, to save Budenholzer's job, probably have to go far. I mean, you'd think they'd have to go to the conference finals, maybe even the finals, or at least not get embarrassed. And it's going to be very difficult there. Again, probably playing a Nets or a Sixers, Lili, in a second round series, just because that's the way it's going to shake down here. But yeah, no Giannis, so it's always going to be difficult when you don't have your best player. But they had this one in the bag. Like, that's right there. Yeah, they're going to regret that one if they do ultimately finish third. Well, you brought up Joel Embiid. Let's get to him. Scores 35. As the Sixers dominated the Celtics, 106-96. It looked a little closer than it maybe was. Lee, big takeaway.
Well, it pretty much followed the script as it should have been for the Philadelphia 76ers. The Celtics really didn't have an answer for Joel Embiid. Brad Stevens tried all three, actually. Robert Williams got the start there. Best option, young, strong, athletic. Picked up a couple of fouls, though. Didn't really work. then big Luke Kornet came out, and I guess the I think the primary thought from Brad Stevens was he's going to get destroyed defensively, but maybe he can stretch the floor a little bit. He hit a couple of threes. Maybe we can just get Embiid to work on that end defensively. But if you're the Sixers and Doc Rivers, I think you'd be more than happy with Luke Kornet being the focus of the offense. And then Big Taco even got a shot out there. You know, the long arms, he's obviously much taller. He can test those shots. I thought he was okay. You know, I mean, no one really had an answer for him. And I mean, look, if you want to nitpick, and I will nitpick here, I'll just say Embiid could have been even more dominant, I thought, last night. I thought a couple of times in that first half, settled for a couple of threes. In the second half, a couple of those mid-rangers. I'm being very, very nitpicky here. He had 35 points. He had 20 free throw attempts.
I was going to say, he 19. Went to the line like every possession.
I know. I'm just saying, like, this game was in control. The Philadelphia 76ers in the second quarter had control, and they pretty much cruised in the third and fourth quarter. I'm just saying, if like looking at that a couple of times, I was like, Embiid, I think, just knew, though, there was no one coming off the bench who he was like, well, this guy could cause me some problems here. He dominated early, and then he sort of, that's fine. When you build up a little bit of a lead, then he's like, okay, I'm going to get a little bit comfortable and try to hit a couple of these threes. That's all I'm saying. He was fantastic last night. I thought Danny Green was great, too, last night for Philadelphia. So this is a good win. And if you're Brad Stevens, I think you just knock politely on the door of Danny Ainge and saying, so what's going on? What are we doing here? I mean, we're just not going with the big man. Like, you know, I mean, we're just, that's it. You must look at this team right now. And I've been trying to sort of make out that Boston is better than their record. But as the season gets on, I'm like, actually, I feel a lot less confident in them now. I think Tatum and Brown, absolute studs, no doubt about it. But I'll be surprised if both Kemba and Marcus Smart are there next season. I'm a big fan of Marcus Smart, but it's almost like he maybe can get them something back in return. Kemba has 2 seasons left on his contract, but one as a player option around $37 million. So I'm not sure how much interest there'd be in picking up a guy who has had some injury concerns there. But that Celtics, that in the middle there, I mean, Daniel Tice was better option than any of the other guys I had there last night, and they traded him away. So the Celtics, I'm not sure really about them. But Joel Embiid, I liked seeing him. You know, he's fine again. He knew he was dominant. You just almost wanted to see him just really crush them to the ground. He didn't quite do that, even though he was absolutely superb.
What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, practice your free throws, kids. Even Joel Embiid afterwards, like, I'm better than an 80% free throw shooter. Hey, 16 for 20, that's not bad in my book, but I'm 100% with you on the Celtics, Lee. I had them as my most overrated team heading into the season because they can't guard the rim. They don't have a lot of depth. And for some reason, they seem to be the less than the sum of their parts. That hasn't changed at all this season. We all keep expecting the Celtics to be able to turn it on here because they've made it to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 of the past 4 years. But they have major issues that aren't really solvable with the personnel that they have right now. The key for the Celtics when it comes to play-in tournament time, when it comes to postseason time, is that Tatum's just going to have to go to another level. He's really going to have to average 35, close to 40 a game for this team to have enough offense, because you saw last night, the Sixers, Embiid had a great game. Like, he still was able to get 35 points. A lot of it came at the free throw line, but the defense that the Sixers played was incredible. They gave up 26 points in the fourth quarter. That was the only time that the Celtics got over 25 in any of the quarters. 96 for the game. When you are able to lock down that hardcore on defense like the Sixers were, you don't have to score a whole bunch of points. And if you're parading to the free throw line, it gets really hard for another team to get back in the mix. So Embiid, I think he can still be better. His jump shot's gonna get back to where it was earlier in the season when he was a knockdown shooter from the mid-range and hitting the threes as well. So as he plays more, they're gonna get better, but he's already having an impact defensively, and obviously that's where the Sixers really make their bread and butter. On the flip side, the offense just has to be good enough. Last night, it was.
Yeah, I'm excited to see if this Sixers team, if we get this series, if they can slow down the Nets. I mean, because this is an awesome defensive team when they have all of their components out there, the Sixers are. But is that enough? Can anybody actually stop, you know, 3 guys on the Nets that can go for 30 or 40 on any given night? And then, you know, the flip side of that is, do they have enough offense to even hang with them? Because you're going to have to put up some numbers, I think, even if your defense is better than most teams against the Nets. And, you know, Embiid's just going to have to, he's going to have to just dominate a Nets series again if they were to meet up in, you know, possibly a second round, but maybe a conference finals or stuff like that. Can't wait. I hope we get something like that. But look, I'm hanging on to a thread here with my bet against Tass, who has the Nets, of course, going to the finals. We got 100 Fin Dogs on this. So I need the Sixers to be dominant here down the stretch. So I have a little confidence. Because the Bucks, man, I don't know. I know there was no Giannis in that. But are you all that confident in them in like a close game situation? I'm not, especially against the Nets if they were to match up. So come on, Sixers. You gotta win me $100 here, hopefully.
Okay. You might want to set that aside, Skeets. You can see you can lock the Nets into the finals. There's Tass celebrating with your money right there.
Yeah, that is my money right there. It's on his forehead. He's just mocking me. Oh my goodness.
All right. You paying him in Canadian or American, you think?
Well, I'll be paying him in pennies, whatever it is. the next one here. The Lakers, they built a big lead. Cruised past the Raptors 110-101. It was over early. Lakers just dominated the Tampa Bay Raptors. Tampa Bay Raptors had me turning into Temperpoy on Twitter, and we had a lot of fun. We're gonna do something with that a little bit later in the week, but I want to show you guys the tussle. One of the strangest tussles we've had in a while, I would say, that resulted in ejections, and we're going to show it to you here on the stream team.
Tuss talk.
Yeah, it's OG Anunoby getting dragged down by Dennis Schroeder, who was trying to tie him up on the fast break, and then they remain tangled when the play was blown dead, and then OG just like tucks his arm under Schroeder's leg and just effortlessly picks him up, scoops him up. A nice leg sweep here with WrestleMania coming up later this week. And then, of course, everybody gets all upset. Dennis is all fired up. OG's like, I don't know how strong I am. I didn't mean to do that. Gary Trent Jr., he's fired up being a new Raptors player, obviously coming to his guy's defense. You got Montrezl Harrell getting in there. In the end, OG got tossed, and Montrezl Harrell got tossed. Lee, what'd you think of the referee's decision after looking at this and just this entire weird play in general?
Well, I don't have a problem with what Dennis Schroeder did. He made a play, and we often say, like, if you're going to stop a guy from scoring, stop him from scoring. I don't think he did anything dirty on that play.
Yeah, I agree.
He hung on to him, and then OG just sort of picks him up and does sort of slam him. Well, not slam him,
no.
But, you know, he picks him up in a sort of like, you know, like, look at that. But then he just drops him. He should not have been ejected for that at all. Look, Schroeder's ready to fight straight away. He's not writhing in pain on the ground or anything like that. Montrezl Harrell's the one who escalates it. So under those circumstances, I can see why they ejected him. But he also didn't deserve to be ejected,
I agree.
I think they're just a little quick on the whistles for those sorts of things. No one threw any punches. Sure, there was a bit of pushing and classic NBA sort of scrapping. Everyone wants to fight everyone, but no one really wants to fight. I thought, you know, it's the refs, I think, just try to they try to say, right, we're going to just throw these guys out because they did something wrong when they didn't really do anything wrong. It was a basketball play that sort of got a little bit out of hand, but nothing crazy there. Like, no one's too angry about anything. I honestly don't think Dennis Schroeder made a good play, you know,
right,
stopping it.
But what about does OG deserve to be tossed for the picking up Dennis? No, you don't think so?
No. No, I didn't think so. I mean, just give him the tech foul. All right, tech foul for you. But that it's just such a harsh punishment for just, you know, nothing. Like, OG wasn't out of control either in what he was doing. He was just sort of like,
I actually don't even think he, like, meant to, like, send a message by, like,
Come on, he wraps his arms around his leg and picks him up.
Well, he's trying to keep himself up right there.
An easy thing to do would be not grab his leg. It's very easy to stand up and not grab somebody's leg. Obviously, Schroeder flips over because he weighs 170 pounds.
Yeah.
OG's a strong guy, so it looks bad, but there's no doubt that OG wraps his arms around Schroeder's legs, lifts him up, and he falls to the ground. Should he have been ejected? I don't know about that, but it's at least probably a flagrant one, a technical, whatever they're going to call it. Something had to be called on OG here.
Yeah,
Montrez elevates it, but it wouldn't have been a thing if OG doesn't flip him over.
Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder's just too light. Just, you're right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's why I said this is one of the strangest ones, man.
Does Fred Van Vliet get a suspension here? Because he comes running out. He's not even playing.
I highly doubt it.
I do too, but sometimes they have no tolerance on that rule at all. So
that was the weird part. Like, Montrezl Harrell getting ejected for, like, escalating it, okay. But, like, Gary Trent Jr. is sort of doing a lot of, like, pushing around there too.
Like,
stepping to guys a little bit. You know, he's got OG's back. It's like, I guess they looked at him like he was trying to separate people, where Harrell is more coming at people. I don't know. It's a weird one.
I like that Gary Trent Jr. already feels like he's been a Raptor for the entirety of the We the North run. Like, it seems like he's been there forever already.
Oh, yeah. 100% agree. And, like, Yeah, Raptors fans, I mean, the Raptors got hammered, like I said. They made like a fake second half run, as they've done a million times this year. But Raptors fans are almost happy with OG slamming Dennis Schroeder and then Gary Trent Jr. Yeah, repping so hard for We the North. They're all in on that.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, can you blame him? The guy's hit a buzzer-beating game winner, and he's sticking up for other players or his teammates in a tussle. Love a little tussle talk for the Toronto-Tampa Bay Raptors. That's how you win fans, man.
Yeah.
And that's how, honestly, that helps getting a deal come summertime, because now the Raptors fans are going to be like, we traded Norm Powell. Gary Trent Jr., this guy's already a Raptors legend. Yeah. You can't let him go, Masai. That's going up.
I saw William Liu writing about the Raptors. He does his 10 things. Marc Gasol, Lee, was excited to play his old team. I mean, he had 13 points. And as William Liu said, when Marc Gasol is scoring 13 points, it feels like 30 points from, you know, anybody else. Because Gasol, you know, not a scorer at this point in his career. But you look at the Raptors, and Gasol's like basically going to be a third-string center on a healthy Lakers team. He would be the starting center on this Raptors team without question. So it's a real kick to the nuts if you're a Raptors fan. It's like, this guy barely even plays. He's not going to be playing on this team. And man, we could use him as a starting center. Too bad he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, Marc Gasol has been a little bit motivated recently since they signed Andre Drummond. He had a good game against the Clippers, I think it was, the other day. And against his former team, the Raptors. But it's not, I mean, you know, the Raptors didn't do him dirty or anything like that.
No, I'm just saying the Raptors could desperately use him right now.
yeah. That's but cool. I honestly thought down in the bubble, though, I thought Marc Gasol was pretty much washed down there. I thought he didn't look good, so I wasn't sort of too disappointed or surprised when Masai Ujiri didn't bring him back. So I thought, unfortunately, Marc Gasol's best days are past him, and I think they still are, but he's just had a bit of a resurgence this last week or so because his spot's in jeopardy there, and then he comes down to Tampa to play the Raptors. So, you know, but overall, I don't think Marc Gasol's making a significant difference to the Raptors' season if he was on their team from the start.
I think he's helping, though. I will say, John Schumann keeps telling me, the Raptors, man, they're going to make the play-in tournament. Like, they're going to be in there because they have, like, a really decent, like, net rating. You know, they lose all these weird games, whatever. Schumann, I don't know, man. I'm starting to lose faith here. He keeps telling me, like, no, they're going to be one of those teams in there. We'll see. I'm not convinced.
I noticed he never DMs me that.
I wonder, does he have faith in your Bulls? I'm not sure.
I know he doesn't. I see the power rankings every week, despite the fact that they have better net ratings than the teams that are ahead of them. Yeah, I read your columns, John Schumann. Step your game up. Wow. Bulls are making a play-in tournament. They're going to smoke the Raptors Thursday.
Shots
then we can talk.
Fired from Trey at Schumann. I hope he's in here. I don't know if he's in the comment section. Oh, yeah, there's the No Dunks graveyard match this Thursday. Loser gets buried live on NBA Happy Hour. That's what we're doing. You might have someone in your corner for this special match, Trey Kirby, on NBA Happy Hour this Thursday.
Stacking up.
Got some backup. Some Bulls are backup. I love it.
We might have another Bulls fan joining us for that one. That's all I'll say right now. Okay, next game, though. Trey Young leads the hot-shooting Hawks. Ka-ka! Past the Pelicans, 123-107. Two things of note for me from this game. One, the Hawks caught fire in the third quarter. They hit all 11 of their three-point attempts. Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's an NBA record, going 11 for 11 from distance in the quarter. They made 20 of 31 overall from three. Bogdanovich here, Lee, is really coming on. Like, this is what we all expected with the Hawks. Not only their record right now, where they've moved up or like as comfortably right now by themselves in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, but Bogdanovich over his last five games, averaging 21.4 points per game. He hit a bunch of threes last night, a lot of them coming in that third quarter. You know, this is good for the Hawks here. They are looking, again, I think, like a team we sort of expected at the start of the season. And they came out of the gate hot, and then, of course, they completely fell apart. Pierce gets fired, and now they're balling under Nate McMillan. They're 13-4, I believe, under Coach McMillan. And then the other point from this game that I wanted to bring up, it was nice to see, Isaiah Thomas back in the league. He had 8 points in his debut for the Pelicans after one practice with the team. He signed a 10-day on Saturday. First game, Lee, since February 3rd, 2020, with Washington, if you remember. Now, Pelicans' backcourt is like, they're decimated right now due to injury. Josh Hart is out for a couple of weeks because he's getting surgery to repair a torn ligament in his thumb. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he was held out. He had a high ankle sprain in the game on Sunday. And then Lewis Jr. as well didn't play. He had a strained right calf. So they need some guards out there. And so here's Isaiah Thompson. I don't know. It's a feel-good story. I was excited to see him.
He can score. Yeah, he can score. He averaged 29 a game for a season there. You know, he was an All-NBA player. He can shoot. He can score. I mean, defensively, of course, that's not his strength. But the Pelicans just need somebody out there, a veteran who can keep the, you know, can give him a bucket, and he can do that. So, you know, it's a 10-day. It's a Band-Aid solution. And certainly, you know, if you're picking up a guy this late into the season off the waivers, you know, you don't want your offense to revolve around that. But the story of this game was, as you said there, the Hawks in that third quarter, 11 threes, and they were all right in front of Stan Van Gundy. And you could just see his head dropping more and more each time, because it's just like, oh, come on, you cannot be serious. Like, right. Trae Young had one, almost like the Kawhi, it sort of bounced, and then it just sort of dropped in as well. Mm-hmm. So, but I always think about Stan Van Gundy with the threes, because, you know, his Orlando Magic team was one of the first teams that basically was like Dwight in the middle, and then you got JJ Redick, you got Turkoglu, you got Jameer Nelson, you got Rashard Lewis. Basically spread the floor and just fire away. And so last night, I mean, you know, he's looking at this team. Now, it's not quite the same. You don't have the Dwight Howard factor here, but everyone just firing away threes like that. And it's one of the, you know, he was certainly one of the earlier adopters that was their strategy. So he was on the receiving end of it there last night. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Stan. He's fun to watch, isn't he, on the side? He's an emotional guy. He can't hide it. He's not stoic on the side. He's up and down. Well, he's not really up. He's just down. Mm. When his team's down, Stan goes down with them.
Yeah, his quotes even after the game is like, he was basically like, we started playing their style of basketball, or thought we could, and it was not ours, and it backfired, and I think there was some truth to that. A good win, though, for the Hawks, Trey, and again, they're up to fourth. It'd be weird that the Hawks finish in fourth after this strange season that they've had here. Is there any case to be made for Coach McMillan for Coach of the Year?
Oh, baby.
I mean, I'm going to throw it out there. I think it's unlikely, but maybe he gets some votes. I don't know.
They've looked honestly a lot better since Nate McMillan turned it around. So, I don't know. Surely he'll show up on some ballots, but how about the Executive of the Year ballot, Skeets? Mm. Maybe Travis Schlenk gets some buzz now. Made a lot of moves in the offseason. Seemed like they weren't going to work. Made a big move during the season, and now all of the moves seem to be working. Everybody getting healthy, right in time for Coach McMillan to take over. Maybe that helps Travis Schlenk, because there were certainly some questions about what the Hawks had been doing in February when all of those guys were missing time. Only other thing I really have to add to this game, anytime the Hawks have a crazy three-point shooting kind of night, I just start thinking about the Korver counter. Remember the good old days when Kyle Korver was making a three-pointer in however many consecutive games he did, and it was such a big deal that he finally toppled Dana Barros's record? Good times.
Yeah. Great call. I do remember the Korver. We actually put that in an in memoriam one year after,
that's right.
After they got rid of it. Anyway.
Bring it back?
Yeah, sure. Final four games. I'll just run through them. Trey, you can touch on any of them that you want to. I got an idea you'll touch on one of these. Vooch, he helped the Bulls run past the shorthanded Pacers, 113-97. I don't think Schumann was watching, though. Dylan Brooks and the Grizzlies ended another Heat win streak. Nice victory for the Grizzlies. John Morant, though, a little scary. Had some tightening of his back at the end of this game. I don't know if you guys saw that. He says he's fine, so hopefully he's okay. Paul George was on fire. Clippers destroyed the Blazers. Beatdown. First quarter beatdown. And then the Nuggets stay undefeated with Aaron Gordon. They're still perfect with AG there. They beat the Pistons 134-119. I think I should get a few Executive of the Year votes. I mean, I did come up with the Aaron Gordon trade to Denver, so, you know, maybe put me on your ballot at the end of the year. But Trey, which of those games do you want to touch on real quick?
You already know, Skeets. Yeah, two maybe. In a row for the Bulls. Got to go away to come back, as I said. But as we know, the Nets always play down to their competition, and the Bulls beat under 500 teams, which is what the Pacers are. So a necessary win for the Bulls. I'm still waiting for them to be back. I will say, though, best they've looked since the trade deadline. 32 points, 17 rebounds for Nick Vucevic. I and that big beef. Bulls haven't had one since Pau Gasol in 2014.
Wow.
What I really love from Vooch, 5 assists.
Yep.
The two-man game with Zach LaVine was looking nice. Bulls have been a top 10 assist team all season long. 28 last night. My vision of a Nuggets light offense, I don't think it's insane. You see it in the performances of Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White last night. They're doing less. They're getting easier shots, and they're able to contribute just by catching and shooting and getting wide open looks rather than having to create for themselves. Even Zach LaVine, I feel like, is doing a little bit less. He didn't have a crazy game last night, 19 points on 18 shots, if I'm not mistaken, but he's able to pick his spots now, make great plays, had a huge hammer dunk, followed it up with a buzzer-beating three at the end of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Most important, though, a well-timed win for the Chicago Bulls. Pacers lost, duh. They were playing the Bulls. But so did the Heat, the Celtics, and the Raptors.
Yeah.
All teams who were kind of right around them in the standings. Obviously, the Hawks got a W. They're a bit ahead of the Bulls right now. Nonetheless, great start to a road trip for Chicago. They had lost 8 of 9. This is their first of 5 on the road. The next 10 games are winnable games. They're not going to go 10-0. It's not like the Western Conference swing that they just went on when they lost 6 straight. If they improve as much as they have since the trade deadline, I think they can go 5-5 pretty easily, and that's an easy way to recover from, and honestly, the worst stretch of the season that the Bulls had these past couple of weeks. But if they're able to turn this around, go 500 in the next couple of weeks, they really are going to be talking about solidifying themselves at that 10 seed. Big stuff for Chicago. Yeah. Big stuff.
Just quickly looking at their schedule, they from here on out, you know, they should be able to win more than they lose. Just that's, you know, they've got like a couple of teams there, you know, the Cavs twice, Orlando's in there. You know, teams like the Knicks, the Hawks, they're games that the Bulls definitely should be close to and have to win a couple of those, of course. But yeah, the schedule's not too bad here for Chicago.
Yep, that's good for Chicago. I mean, I think they're, we're going to find out on Thursday night if they can beat the Raptors, and then it's over for the Raptors and the Bulls are in. That's the stipulations of this match, man, of this game. Like, everybody knows that. Lee, I got to ask you just before we move on here, did you see the clip of Jokic and Aaron Gordon playing hot potato with the ball back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? And will that make... You didn't see this?
No, what? No,
oh,
no,
here it is, Lee.
This is so good.
My goodness. Lee, I want to know, is this a very solid play? Like, this is unbelievable.
Of course it is. Yeah, there's no dunking involved there.
That's,
yeah.
I couldn't believe you didn't tweet that out.
Well, I saw that. Look, I'll be honest. That was a game that I... Yeah. Was late on the calendar too because it was a massive blowout, and I thought, there's not a whole lot of breakdown of that one. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's definitely going into the mix.
Right. I feel like Jokic needs his own category of very solid plays that are like very pickup plays, because like throwing 4 passes within 8 feet of the basketball, that's what happens on a Wednesday night with 45-year-old men playing basketball. But Jokic and Aaron Gordon are doing it in an NBA game. It's like, shoot it. No, you shoot it. No, you shoot it. No, you shoot it.
Oh, totally.
Suddenly, Chiefs blows a layup and we're going the other way and Drew's taking a 30-footer. What's going on?
Did you see, though, his other fadeaway last night from the three-point line where it was, oh, my God. I know we see that stuff from him, but even still, it's like that's just such a bad good shot for him.
Yep.
You know, it's just so much fun.
Yeah, Nuggets continuing to roll. I know it was against the Pistons, but again, still undefeated with Aaron Gordon there in the lineup. Okay, we're going to get to this, best 25 under 25 ranking these like young stars in this league. But before we do, a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Look at those gams. Look at those socks. Look at those flip-flops. Yeah. I have a lot of Filipino people confirm that that's a definite skill of Filipinos to somehow wear socks and flip-flops.
I've just got so much in common with the Filipinos. I love basketball and I wear socks and flip-flops. Yeah. I just didn't realize. I've never been to the Philippines. I'd love to get out there.
We're going. I mean, you keep saying we're doing some tour in Australia. We're stopping in the Philippines, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Guys, which young NBA stars are taking over and which teams have the best collection of young talent in the league? Those are the questions ESPN's insiders, Bobby Marks, Kevin Pelton, and Mike Schmitz, they set out to answer this week by ranking their top 25 players under the age of 25 based on future potential. That last part is key because that part has a lot of people fired up. Based on future potential. I'm going to hit you with the top 10 here. On the stream team, I got a ticker rolling on the bottom like these guys are being drafted. But the top 10 is Luka, in order. Luka number one, Zion number two, LaMelo Ball number three, Donovan Mitchell number four, Jason Tatum number five, De'Aaron Fox number six, Ben Simmons number seven, Devin Booker number eight, Bam Adebayo at number nine, and my guy, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at number 10. And then it goes, you know, Ingram, Jalen, Jamal, MPJ, Morant, Trae Young, Mikal Bridges, Sabonis, Anthony Edwards, Ayton, Halliburton, John Collins, Jared Allen, Lonzo, and Colin Sexton. There you go. I just hit you with the top 25. But Lee, focusing on the top 10, who were you most surprised to not see in, again, the ESPN Insider's top 10? You know, some of those names I just hit you from 11 through 25, or maybe somebody that's not even on the list. Where are you going?
Yeah. The key here is the future. It's not right now. That's what they based it on, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what they're
again,
saying.
And like people are pissed off because they seem to be prioritizing future potential over like current production. You know, that's where the hang-up is.
Well, for me, though, I have Trae Young ahead of De'Aaron Fox and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander today. Okay. Just based on what we've seen so far, Trae Young, it wasn't an all-star, obviously, this season. He was last season. He was very close to becoming a two-time all-star already. I think Trae Young has shown already that he's certainly a modern-day player. You know, he's got that deep range already. He can shoot that three ball well enough. I can see him being a multiple All-NBA player. Now, that's not to say that I don't think De'Aaron Fox or Gilgeous-Alexander have that potential at some point. I just think based on what I've seen so far, and a part of it is maybe the teams, although the Hawks, you wouldn't say are too far ahead of where the Kings and the Thunder are in terms of, you know, respect and where they're going to go and how good they can be. But I just think Trae Young, if you were to ask me right now who I'd rather have on my team going forward, it's close. It's very close because I think Fox and Gilgeous-Alexander are outstanding talents. But I would think Trae Young would project to have a better career than those two guys from what I've seen so far.
I mean, Trae Young is only, 22 and a half, too. It's like he's not knocking on the door at 25. He's got a couple of years and seasons left here. Yeah, him at 16th is a bit of an eye-opener. What do you think? Same question for you, Trae. Is it Trae Young? Is it somebody else that you were surprised that didn't at least crack their top 10?
Just a single slot up, Skeetsy. Ja, for me, he turned the Grizzlies competitive instantly. You know, his progress this season, I don't think he's taken quite the leap that people would expect. You know, he's averaging one more point per game, shooting less than 25% from three.
Yeah.
Not even 80% from the line. Certainly the shooting is probably the biggest concern with Ja Morant, but the force of personality, the force at which he plays and the confidence which he plays, I'm surprised that he wasn't closer to the top 10. I feel like he's a little bit more established than a guy, just like Lee's saying, like SGA, but I mean, I guess they're similar sorts of players. I just thought that Ja's team success already would probably push him higher, considering he's still obviously incredibly young as well. You know, he's 21 and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know. If he shot the ball better this season, you'd probably see him higher on this list.
I think that's right. Second question from this is there anybody else that is like too high for you, Trae, or too low, or, you know, you can't believe is not even included in the top 25? Where do you want to go with it?
Too low for me, Skeets. I'm sure you guessed it. Where's Patrick Williams? Where's Patrick Williams at? 19 years old, starting the entire season for a playoff team. This guy didn't even get a vote.
Ooh.
He's getting compared to Kawhi Leonard by LeBron James. He knows what he's talking about, but we got people voting Keldon Johnson over Patrick Williams. Makes sense. Obviously, the national media doesn't watch the Bulls. I would have Patrick Williams in over Keldon Johnson, John Collins, DeAndre Ayton, and DeMontis Sabonis.
Wow.
I mean, I think they're all solid players. They all have all-star potential. This guy's only 19. He's going to be one of the best defenders in the league by the time he's 23.
Okay. I mean, that's a little shocking he didn't get a vote from either
didn't
of these
get a
three
vote.
Guys. That is a little shocking. Lee, where do you go with that question? Who's too high, too low? Can't believe he's not even in there.
Well, LaMelo Ball has been fantastic to watch. I've fallen in love with him like most of us have this season, but I do not think he's a better player or will be a better player than Jason Tatum. I think Tatum should be in that number three slot. Obviously, right now,
really?
The Celtics... Yeah, I think so. I think Jason Tatum has, you know, MVP caliber potential. Mm-hmm. And maybe LaMelo does too. Who knows? But it's only been half a season that we've seen really of LaMelo so far, and is fantastic, and he's outperformed expectations in a lot of ways as well, I think. But from what I've seen, again, I've seen Jason Tatum for fourth season. And he's already, to me, established himself as a superstar, you know. And LaMelo, I think, has the potential, but it's going to be interesting to see what LaMelo does, and if he can continue to take great strides next season and become even better than he has been this season. That shot, while it's not pretty, it's not too bad. You know, it's effective. He's a good rebound. He's a good defender. He's got a lot of tools there already, but Jason Tatum has just shown them to me already over his short career. So where I sit today, I'd have Tatum ahead of LaMelo Ball. But based on future potential, I'm not upset LaMelo's in the top 10. I just think he's a touch high at number three.
Yeah, that may be fair. Tatum's just had the weirdest season, right? I mean, his numbers are pretty damn incredible. Like, 25 a game, right? But Celtics obviously have completely disappointed. And it's like, I mean, he's not making All-NBA, I assume, this year. Like,
No, but early on.
I know. I'm just thinking it's a weird year for him.
Yeah. He was at the table, the MVP table, but not to make excuses for him, but he had the virus, and he's talked about how that has just kind of, he's really struggled to just sort of get back from that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, perhaps that's a factor, but I mean, from his rookie season, he was a star, and he's continued to get better each season. And I think he just will continue to do that.
Do you have any qualms, Trey, with Luka being ahead of Zion? In the pecking order for a list like this, the best 25 under 25? No.
Nah, I saw him hit a game winner in the playoffs already, so I think his potential is 100% there. It's just a matter of being able to get the three-pointer as consistent as he wants it to be, because he can get it off anytime, he can shoot it from deep, and he's a great shooter. The percentages will come with time. And yeah, Zion, I mean, still has some question marks around the filling out the rest of his game. Obviously, he's the best paint scorer in the league already, but the other guy I've got too high, sorry, Skeetsy, De'Aaron Fox at six.
Yeah,
ahead of
me.
All NBA players, Ben Simmons, Devin Booker could be knocking on the door, Bam Adebayo at some point could be knocking on the door. I think Fox is going to make an all-star team at some point in his career, probably multiple, but we've got guys who are already winning awards. You know, Ben Simmons already was on an all defensive team. He could easily be a defensive player of the year at some point in his career. I think the same goes for Bam. And I think Devin Booker is going to be an all NBA player probably this season. It doesn't seem like it's going to stop for him. So I was a little surprised to see Fox just outside of the top five.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because I was a little shocked he was that high. I loved De'Aaron Fox. Maybe this was a case of great timing when they were building this list. I mean, Fox is playing, like, by far his best basketball of his career. I mean, the guy was, like, did he win Player of the Month? He won a couple Player of the Weeks there, I think, is what happened with him. And he was just, like, putting up 30 in his sleep, it felt like, every night. He's awesome. He's, like, 23, too. I'm with you. Like, if you're going to go crazy over this list, you got a problem. Like, these are, like, if anything, you should be looking at this list going, damn, the NBA is in good hands here, like, over the next, like, hopefully decade with all of these names. Like, yeah, Ja Morant and Trae Young are, like, 15th and 16th. Like, they're some of the best players in the league. I was happy to always be reminded of the young talent in this league. But if you're going crazy over this list, just relax. It's some fun, guys. This is just smart, you know, creating content out of thin air. Good on Bobby Marks. Good on Peltman Schmitz. This is what you got to do around this time. You just got to make up a list and then run with it. I guess some people in the comments are saying a notable name not included that you probably would have thought would have been there when we watched him in the bubble, Tyler Hero.
Mm.
No Tyler Hero is a little shocking, Lili. Again, like we would have, like, if we were doing this list last year, he's on. I mean, he's on the top 25, I think, and he's not even there.
Yeah. And Colin Sexton is number 25. And when you consider the Cavs just not being in the national media conversation since the first week of the season, that's a little shocking that he's maintained that level, whereas Tyler Hero He's been pretty good when he's played for the Heat this season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised that this arbitrary list didn't include every single possible
I know.
Candidate.
Hey, you want to play What About This Guy? Where's,
yeah, exactly.
Where's RJ
yeah.
Barrett? Come on.
Yeah, he's had a good season good for the sure. Year. Yeah.
Last I checked, he wasn't over 25 years old. Maybe they know something I don't. Maybe it's a Buddy Hield situation. I'm not sure. But, yeah, let's hear from you guys in the YouTube comments. Who was too high? Who was too low? Who you couldn't believe wasn't included on this list? Have at it. You let us know, and then I'll compile all your answers, and I'll send a nice, strongly worded email to our friends over at ESPN, our insiders over there, letting you know what we think about their list. There are so many things I wish we could have both ways. For example, a zero-calorie cheeseburger. How about red wine without the headache? A dog that never poops. That'd be heaven. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords, stiff chinos, rather than effortless comfort. But it's possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. I'm sorry, Don Draper. This is 2024. I want to look good and feel comfortable. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I got a little bit of everything. The air-knit boxer briefs are so good. The Ace sweatpant, mad comfy, but also great tailored fit. And because this is the summer of Henleys, yeah, I'm calling it, it's the summer of Henleys, you know I threw a few of them in my virtual shopping cart. Peacocking is for the birds, baby! Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. They're not flashy, just classic. Sort of like a No Dunks podcast. Always in style, always crazy comfortable. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Lily, Tweet of the Night duties. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to feed two mouths today, Skeetsy. So I've got one for our stream team viewers, and then I've got one for our listeners as well, because I didn't want them to feel left out.
Okay, that's nice.
But they both come from the same game. And it was that Raptors-Lakers game.
Okay.
And the first one from Great Dane on Twitter, how she got this Photoshop up so quickly was just incredible. For those who are listening, it's OG and Gary Trent in the wrestling ring. It's, I guess, Tuesday Night Raw.
And, OG's
about to throw Schroeder sort of over the ropes, through the ropes, whatever you like. But what an incredible job there. Great job from Great Dane. But as I said, there was no words for this. I thought, well, Skeetsy's probably going to get angry.
No!
Skeetsy's going to get angry. But then I saw how angry Skeetsy got last night, and I thought, that was actually a great tweet, Skeetsy, from you, Skeetsy, last night here when the Raptors lost. You said, next year we're putting all 29 US NBA teams in shitty Canadian cities for the season and see how they fare. You think the Lethbridge Lakers win 30 games? Not a chance,
well, I didn't write it in caps lock, so I wasn't yelling it.
Yeah, but you were. That was a great, great tweet. It was the right level of snark, anger, having a shot at Tampa, having a shot at your own country.
Yeah,
like you're just, everyone sort of is like, yeah, but hang on. It's like when you're that crazy guy and everyone's like, just don't go near him, man. He's freaking out right now. Just let him have his moment here. So, and I saw some great responses. I was going to include some, but there were just so many. Oh, I thought, we'll talk about them. But really, really good stuff there, Skeetsy. Really great, angry, you know, funny, topical tweet. And you just had a shot at everybody last night.
I know, I pissed off everybody. Tampa fans, like people that live in Tampa. Hey, it's not that bad here. Well, first off, I'll just leave it at that.
But you covered yourself by also shitting on your own country. That's the great way to do it. People, right. You know.
Yeah, Lethbridge, people were like, it's beautiful in Lethbridge. What do you know? Okay, maybe it is. It's also super windy in Lethbridge. I do know that. It's like Winnipeg, for crying out loud. And then I got Lakers fans upset because they somehow were like, you want to bet we'd win 30 games if we were in Alberta? We have LeBron James.
That's what you
left bridge LeBron.
Yeah, I was like,
the completely irrational replies as well just makes it even perfect. I just thought that's one of those ones that Skeety, when he closed the laptop last night, he just did the old
I was like, I can go to bed now, my work is complete. Yeah, I got great engagement on that tweet, no doubt. You can fire a lot of people up. Trey and I on the Top Shot Hot Boys, because we went on live right after that tweet, we have decided, because all of the responses, right, like people were like, hey, put this team in so-and-so city in Canada and stuff like that, that there are two rules, Lee, when we do this, because we're actually going to make this into its own segment, like,
right,
as if we went through on this promise that Silver's like, you know what, that was really unfair that we had to put Toronto in Tampa, so all these other teams next season will be in a Canadian city. Alliteration. Okay,
right.
You know, that's always fun. The the Lethbridge Lakers. It's, I guess, similar to Los Angeles because it starts with the same letter. Or just the initials are the same. So if it's the Boston Celtics, then it's the Barrie Celtics or the Brampton Celtics. So we'll come
Mississauga
up with the cities.
Timberwolves.
Exactly, exactly. So those are going to be our rules when we actually do this. So if you have suggestions, let us know. My favorite that a lot of people were tweeting in, the Thunder Bay Thunder.
Yeah.
That's where we'll make like one exception to the rule.
Yeah,
like,
that's
good. That one's too good. Like the Thunder. That's very, very funny to me. So anyway, thanks, Lee, for giving Temper Boy a little love. You know, sometimes you feel like to really make a tweet sing, you got to throw some swear words in it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to swear too much on Twitter. Like, you know, like relax. Yeah. But it's like, this one felt like it needed it. Yeah, it needed the fucking chance in there. So
yeah, that's the thing. Because it came at the end, you thought, oh, it's a clean tweet. Then I was just like, nah.
It's a clean tweet.
I'm telling you, you're just that ranting, angry guy on the corner. Yeah, haven't it? You know, people are like, what the hell is up with that guy over there? You know, and it's, but no one wants to approach him. Everyone's just like, just let him go. He'll be fine. He'll calm down soon.
Don't worry. I wasn't actually serious, Lethbridge people. Bad though, Trey.
The Chilliwack Bulls.
That's good.
The Chili Dog Bulls. You know. The tweet from you, Skeets, last night though, that pissed me off the most.
Yeah.
The Great Pottery Throwdown is better than the Great British Baking Show. Ugh. Trash take.
Happy to see almost zero
engagement on this one. So I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, because I'm early to the game, to the pottery game. Like once you all start watching it, you'll understand. Oh, it's incredible.
You won't keep up with it.
What do you
just
mean?
Like the marbles, just like Marbula One, it'll be gone to the wind. It'll be gone
That's
to the wind,
true,
and
actually.
I will be talking to Peter Sawkins about making a babka.
That's why you're pro. Pro Bake Off. And look,
I also like food more than pottery.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think I do. I'd rather eat a nice vase than a cupcake. It's a great show, though, I will say. It's like a classic. It's awesome British reality television. JD, highly recommended. Once you're done with the Bake Off, I did screw up that tweet, too, by the way. It's not the Great British Baking Show, which I think is actually another show, but it's the Great British Bake Off, like you said, Trey. So I did screw that up. Brutal tweet, you're right, but... Pottery Throwdown, JD, so good.
I've seen it. It's good.
What do you think of our man Keith crying when he picks up the weight of a vase? It's beautiful.
He's a sensitive man. You gotta love it, right?
He's super sensitive. He just loves good pottery. He's also incredible on the wheel, man. Oh, my God.
On the wheel. On the wheel. So they call it the ones and twos?
Yeah,
Keith
man.
Is getting busy. I guess probably just the ones. It's just the one there, right? Do they do a lot of shaping? I like that.
Oh, dude, you're going to love it, Trey. I mean,
honestly,
like
I probably
much,
will love it. It sounds like it. Something right up my alley. But come on! Do they got Paul Hollywood giving handshakes? I doubt it.
No,
I doubt it, man.
The version is of the Paul Hollywood handshake is... If you make Keith cry from like the beauty of your work.
okay. Yeah. A Keith cry, I like that. I do like that.
And this dude cries like every three episodes.
It's so much easier to get Keith to cry than to get a handshake from Paul Hollywood.
Yeah. The first time he cried, I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, this guy's like so moved by this person's pottery. Like, that's pretty special. And then I gotta be honest, he started crying like every second episode. I was like, all right, come on.
You're blowing it, man. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, I saw an episode of Bake Off where Paul Hollywood gave multiple handshakes in the same episode. I was like, this ruins everything.
Yeah.
Inflation right here. And I'm seeing people in the stream team are upset. Look, Marbula One is awesome. I'm just saying, we talked about it a lot more when there was no basketball going on and there were no other cool new shows coming out.
Yeah.
When the only thing we could find was marble racing, it was number one. I'm just saying it's not number one anymore, but I guess season two is back. Marbula One, season two. I'm still rolling with the O-Rangers. Skeets, I'm sure you're still a raspberry racer. Yep. We're still dipping in. I'm just making jokes, okay?
Yeah, you know, like, who continued to watch that is my godson, Andreas, still loves watching it. Like, he's always firing up. And it is great, especially for a kid. It's cooler than horse, somebody said.
Yes, right. Yes.
You're right, Dale. Maybe not playing it, but watching it on TV, 100%. Okay, wow. Those tweets were firing everybody up here. I love it. Pick 'em results. I'm on them. I'm telling you, fade me hard right now. Guys, I either like can't pick wrong or I can never pick a game right. And I am in a bad streak here. I lost because I had Boston. Tass lost. He had Boston. He's 3-1. You guys are 3-1 because you had Philly. I'm 1-3. Tonight's game, though, good one. Nope. Two best teams in the Western Conference. Jazz and Suns. Utah favored by 2.5 on the road in Phoenix. Let's go to Tass first, JD. Let's find out who T is taking.
I like that. Two best records in the NBA. Looking forward to this one. And I think Utah beats Phoenix. They bounce back after a cold shooting night against Dallas. They don't lose two in a row very often. It's only happened twice this season. And I think the Jazz are in a good spot. Plus, I like the fact that the only time that they've played this season, Phoenix won. So I'll take Utah to bounce back in a couple different ways.
Okay. Tass making great points there. Makes sense. Lee, do you agree with them? Jazz win by 3 or more?
Yeah, pretty much. I feel Phoenix have probably been a little bit underrated even still to this point. But Utah had such a stinker the other night in Dallas. I expect that they will come out firing a little bit more. So I'll take Utah by 3 points.
Trey, where are you going?
I probably also would have taken the Jazz, but I'm feeling swervy today, gentlemen. Give me like the Suns. Keeping the streak alive, or at least keeping it close enough. I'll go Phoenix.
All right, I'll go with you, Trey. I mean, I can't sit here the last couple of days telling everybody, you're all underestimating the Suns. You're not talking about them enough. Booker's been incredible. Nobody cares. You only care when he's on a crap team. You're like, oh. Okay, I'll take the Suns, but man, ooh, you make great points with the Jazz bouncing back. We'll see. Hopefully it's a close game. Yeah, I guess the Suns could cover and still lose, and then we would get the victory. So we're split on this one, too. Lee, Tass, taking the Jazz to win by 3 or more, and Trey and I taking the Suns to keep it close or even get that W. Hopefully it's a close game. That's it for us. Fun show. We got another one coming later today, though. Don't you worry. I'm telling you, get your Blinkist in while you can, because there's another classic coming at 3 p.m. Eastern where we hit the beach, where we step on the soft, soft sand to read your emails and your tweets. Send them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. It'll be fun. I haven't even looked at today's questions. I don't know if you guys got a head start on today's beach stepping. Yeah, I usually do by this point, but I haven't yet. Yeah, okay, yeah. Good. Good questions, Lee?
Yeah, they're always good.
Okay, good. We'll have some fun. Please like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. That's all we ask from you guys. And grab your No Dunks merch if you want to rep the brand. Go to nodunks.com. We'll see you later today, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. With Beach Steppin, can't join us live, don't worry. It'll go up in your podcast feed 45 minutes to an hour later. Or, of course, it will live on YouTube forever. We will see you later. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, John Cleese, if you're listening and attending the Jazz versus Suns game tonight, please hop on No Dunks tomorrow to break it down for our Pick'em Pale segment. Come on, John Cleese, come on the show.
Embrace the day, people.